Good morning, everyone. I am going to get suited up here. Today we are doing, I'm going to tell you, of all of the things that we do, like worksheets and stuff, not only do I think the Fuck It Foods worksheet might be the most powerful and the most impactful, it's also my favorite one to teach. So the reason why I love it so much is because it's really, it's just fun to do as an activity together. So I was thinking about, I just got out of the shower. I had 17 minutes to get ready. So today I am greeting all of you with a shower and not just my blowed out look from coming off the Peloton, which is what I almost did this morning. While we get settled in, make sure that you have, if you go to Basics 2.0, the Fuck It Foods worksheet is in there. I want you to have it out. If you don't have it and you're just listening along, that's fine. All I want you to do is just kind of think through some of the things that I'm doing and asking. And then as you're thinking it through, plan a time when you're going to do it on your own. So this morning, I went for my quick little walk to catch up with Jane and Marco Polo, which all of you know. She's not only my best friend, but my accountability partner. She also is the person I talk to first thing in the morning. I don't even talk to my husband first thing. Like, seriously? It's not a morning unless I've talked to Jane. I can go all day without talking to Chris. As much as I love him, I literally could go all day long without like seeing Chris in the house, talking to him, anything. But like I always, like if I don't Marco Polo Jane or don't listen to one from her in a day, I literally feel like something's off all day long. So I get what it's like when you become very attached to your accountability groups. That's why we suggest you have them. I think it makes weight loss easier. I think it makes life easier to be able to talk to people who get you, understand you, who can lend perspective. So I did my walk, came home, I was full of coffee and energy drink, and I did a 45-minute Peloton boot camp class that is all strength-based. Because I needed to lift weights this week and I'm going to Vegas. So I don't know what the situation is there yet. So I thought I'm going to do a full body. Oh my God. It kicked my ass. Like literally when I was coming downstairs from my shower, I almost fell because my legs were giving out. It was a good one. And then I followed it up with a 15-minute. There's an instructor called Tunde who is awesome. She is one of my favorite instructors, but I just did a 15-minute R&B ride. So I've been listening to the Casey and JoJo this morning already and some Usher. So I'm just like, hey, I'm ready. So it's Fuck It Foods worksheet day. Let me tell you a little bit about the value of this worksheet and some ideas that I had. Number one, when you do this worksheet, it's super helpful to do it with foods that you either fuck it eat, feel like you have no control over, tend to binge with, or maybe even have a hard time stopping at enough. So it's for any of those foods. It's an exercise where we kind of slow down the eating process and we really examine what's going on. I was thinking about it and we're doing it in the morning this time. We've always done it in the evenings, like during, like, so yesterday's Basics 2.0 class was all about the witching hour. The Fuck It Foods worksheet is an excellent opportunity to do this during your witching hour. Find the time where you are typically seeing patterns where you overeat the most. Get out this worksheet, and here's how I would do it. I would get all the food you normally fuck it eat with, even if it's like foods while you're preparing dinner. So one day, save some of the foods, or one day, do the worksheet while you're cooking. Like it's just a, it's a great pattern interrupt. So like when we think about Fuck It Foods, foods that we have a hard time stopping with, foods we feel out of control with, it's coming from a thought premise that the food, so like I can't stop myself. It's hard to stop myself. Or for a lot of us, what we do is like, chips are my nemesis. My downfall is cake. Like we give power over to the food. So what this worksheet does is it overrides our habit brain and what its story about the food is. And it taps into like the reasoning brain. It's like, okay, we already know what it's like to listen to our habit brain. And we already know what that truth is like. And we already know how that feels and how that think, feel, do cycle runs. Now what we want to do is we want to see in action if we were to do it using just our conscious brain
and listening to what the habit brain has to say and overriding it with the conscious brain, because we're doing an experiment. That is the value of this sheet. It brings a lot of awareness for you. And then it usually what it happens is either the first time it won't be easy and you might end up still eating all of it. You might end up not being able to sit with it. The more you practice, what happens is over time, your brain learns like, oh, if I really just concentrate around these foods and I just eat them super purposefully, and I know that I can always have them by building a relationship with them, I don't have to rely on my habit brain as much anymore. When I rely on my conscious brain around them, I can eat them more often. I can eat them more frequently, and I can eat them in a way that helps me lose weight. That's the benefit. It also shows you that you're never truly out of control. Although we might feel out of control, it's not the eating that's doing that. It's our thoughts about the food, and it's our thoughts about eating that's creating the sense of being out of control. Remember, out of control or uncontrolled is a feeling, which means somewhere there's a thought like, I can't stop eating at enough. When I eat XYZ food, I always have a hard time. When we see the food, if we subconsciously believe that food has some power over us, that we keep applying our feeling to the food and we don't start saying, when I think I don't have control over the food, I do feel helpless. Until we teach our brain that it is the thought, then we just keep repeating old cycles that we want to break. So you'll need your worksheet and you will need some food. You will need whatever food it is that you really love. And it's 9 o'clock in the morning. So for some of you, it could be breakfast. For some of you, you've got a bottle of wine sitting there. Because I told you, bring whatever it is you have a hard time saying no to. Some of you might have, like, somebody's got Cheetos, cake, whatever it is. The purpose of the Fuck It Foods worksheet is to bring the food that you want to experiment and learn about. And that's the point. The other thing is that I have recorded this particular exercise. I think this is either the third or fourth time. So if you want to do it in different, I always end up doing it differently every single time I teach it. I teach different ahas every single time. If you want to put yourself on a plan to where it's like, you know what, like once every other week or once a month, I want to do a Fuck It Foods worksheet, then say, like, put it in your calendar with the link to one of the videos and say, all right, on this day at this time, I'm going to do Fuck It Foods worksheet while listening to Corinne do this class. And you could do that once every single month and you would get a lot of authority over food. You can even do the same foods over and over again. Another idea that I had for accountability groups is to all of you go, and like a lot of you have Zoom accounts. All of you go have a Zoom meeting. Somebody play it in the background or play, like just play it. And then all of you do it together in a Zoom meeting. I think that would be super great, where you guys could do some discussion stuff. There's no wrong way to do it, basically. All right. So again, the reasons why we're doing this is to change the thinking you have about foods you think are controlling you, and to get very aware of cues, triggers, and thinking that lead to feeling out of control. But I want you to know you always have that power over your thinking. So when you see and hear all those thoughts, now you've turned your brain on to be like, okay, good. I want to be able to hear what my unconscious brain, my habit brain says, so that I get choice in the matter. I now can decide, do I want to follow the commands or do I want to start applying other thoughts on the back end? Like, it's okay that we want this right now, and I can also plan for it tomorrow. And I understand, like you can say, I know that I want this and I'm willing to wait about 20 minutes to see if I'm still wanting it. So the other thing that this is going to teach you is that you don't need to eliminate trigger foods. A lot of you have foods. A trigger food is a food that pushes a thought. Like when you see it, your habit brain has an automatic thought associated with it. Like, I can't control myself. It's too hard. It tastes too good to stop. I always eat the whole bag. A trigger food is one of those foods that your habit brain is like, hey, I already got a pre-programmed thought for that one. You don't even have to think about it. I got a whole back catalog bullshit just waiting for you. We want to learn how to eliminate the trigger thoughts slowly over time, not eliminate the foods. What most of you do is you notice a food that you don't eat with any kind of control, and so you go to trying to eliminate those foods. The problem is the thought never gets eliminated. So the next time you're like, okay, like I have lost like 25 pounds, I'm doing so good. It's like time for me to reintroduce my cookies. I feel like this is now the time. No, it ain't. You know why? You never learned how to shut up the bullshit. When all you did is tell yourself, I can't have these foods right now. These foods trigger me. Guess what? Your brain's like, noted. So the next time a cookie comes around, I'm going to just make sure your old shitties come flying to the top, just like the flying monkeys in the Wizard of Oz. We want to start learning how to eliminate the old thinking. And the way that we do that is by doing exposure exercises like this, teaching our brain how to think, getting really good at knowing what, like the I just want it, the whatever thoughts that you have. You want to get good at hearing them. And the process of elimination is by adding new thoughts onto the end until your brain is like, so every time I think this, you're going to want to think this. So on 1,263, like the third time that you do that, it's like, all right, so now when you see cookies, I'm just going to give you the new thought. Because you keep applying this new one. I mean, literally 1,263. It like stacked data. I've researched it. Please, if you are sitting there right now, writing down 1,263 and building out an elaborate Excel spreadsheet, you can go ahead and stop. I really don't know how long it's going to be, but I'm guessing that it's going to take about a solid year of telling yourself something new and doing it anyway before your brain is like, retireville. Please give it a year. Like for that's going to be the new standard. Everybody be willing to slap a new thought onto an old thought for a year before you say it's taking too long. I shouldn't have these thoughts anymore. That's bullshit. It like you guys think the thought has to go away so that the urge goes away, the feelings go away, the resistance go away. It's like, that's a no. The thought can come up as much as it wants. As long as you're slapping some good shit on the end, and taking action, after a while, it's just a sentence. Barely even blips as an urge. It's a momentary like want of something, but you get good at doing something different. The urge don't bother you as much anymore. I have urges all the time. Hell, I got an urge right now to go into the kitchen and make my breakfast. I'm fucking hungry. But guess what? I can feel an urge. Not the end of the world. You know what I'm telling? I'm not telling myself you can't eat right now. Even though I'm on this call with you, guess what I'm not doing? Telling myself I can't eat right now. You know what I'm telling myself? Hey, when we're done, we're going to eat breakfast. So much less drama than sitting around. I could easily be sitting here thinking and teaching the whole time going like, this sucks. These bitches and they're overeating. If they just quit overeating, then I could just go and eat my breakfast. Like I could have drama if I wanted to. But I don't. I'm just like, I'm going to teach this class. Them hoes are going to nail this. Then I'm going to go eat my breakfast. And by golly, great day. So much less drama for Corinne. Why am I thinking that? Because after years and years and years of reminding myself, let's make the path to success easier by thinking easier thoughts rather than dogpiling a pile of junk on top of it and talking to myself like an asshole. That's amazing. So your mind has that power to control the foods, and we're going to learn today. So I want all of you to take a look at your food. Please, somebody, type into the comments. Has anybody ate their food already? Because I purposely always wait a while before I give you the command to start eating. If you have, this is what I want to tell you. That's not a bad thing. You may not have known that you had to wait. That's fine. You may have felt like the food was talking to you. That's okay. Whatever's happened at this point is what I would call normal, natural, and perfect for this exercise. So if you've already ate, what I encourage you to do is stop and say, like, okay, and now I'm going to sit with the food while we continue the exercise. If you have finished it already, then what I want you to do is I want you to listen to the exercise and imagine what it might have been like. And I want you to do it the whole time telling yourself, I'm glad I'm doing it this way. Because here's what I'm not asking you guys to do. I'm not sitting around going like, fuck, Ann, I can't believe that you already ate your food. You've already screwed it up. You might as well just get out of my Facebook Live. Now, that might be the voice that you're hearing in your head, but I've already told you how to think about it. We do not sit there and beat ourselves up. So if you did go ahead and eat it and you, without the worksheet and me walking you through it, then what I want you to do is I want you to listen with the intention of like, all right, what might have it been like? What might have been different had I waited? Also, you can say like, when will I do this exercise again and do it with Corinne this time? And just see if there's anything different between the two experiences. All I really want you to do is if you've already ate and you've started or you finished your food, I want you to notice like, here's how I experienced it like without Corinne. And then when I go back and do it with Corinne, I really want to pay attention to what is the eating experience difference. Okay. So for all of you who are, this call should have been at night. No. Let me tell you why it's not going to be at night. Because we've already done 3 at night. So you can do this anytime you want. Here's what we've not done. We've not tried our foods at 9 o'clock in the morning very often. So a lot of these foods that you guys are sitting there and thinking, so here's what I want you to do. So we got golden Oreos, graham crackers and peanut butter, Snickers, Cheetos, some kind of big ass cranberry cashew granola. I ate the whole bag last Friday. Woo! I bet your colon was legit for a few days. I know this because Jane often when she binges, well, she doesn't binge often, but when she binges, she often eats Todd's macadamia nut granola. And it is, it's very fluid downtown. One time she calls it oat booty. I can't remember what it's called, but one time she ate a bunch of Cracklin' Oat Bran, like a whole cereal box. And it tore up so bad that she won't eat it again. It was so bad, but they call it, I think her and Todd call it, she avoids Cracklin' Oat Booty. So, all right. So we got ice cream, all kinds of things. Now, the reason why I'm having this run at 9 o'clock in the morning is because a lot of times you guys will say that you have no control over these foods. Like it'll be during your witching hour or something. And your belief is that at a different time of day, that during that time of day, you can't control yourself, but you're like sitting here. So one of the times that I did this, I was in a class getting taught how to do this worksheet. And the person had a glass of wine and our class was at 9 o'clock in the morning. And she was talking about all of us who talk about how hard it is to resist that glass of wine at 5 o'clock and blah, 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 blah. And she asked us, she poured a glass of Chardonnay. And she was like, who all wants this glass of Chardonnay? Whoever wants it can have it and you can drink it during this class. And we were all like, no, like it's too early. Like, Like we were just like, it was a hard no, hard pass. She said, okay, so how many of you have a belief that at night you would want the whole bottle or that it's hard not to drink a glass of wine after a long day? And so we were all like I was like, me, this was like 5 years ago. I would have told you that after a long day, there's just no way I could say no to a glass of wine. And she pointed out that it's not the time of day. It's not any of that. There's a thought in the morning that I don't want it. And here is my reason why. There is a thought in the evening that is, I want that. And here is my reason why. That is the only difference. It has nothing to do with the wine. It has nothing to do with golden Oreos. It has nothing to do with Cheetos. It has nothing to do with the food. And it also truly has nothing to do with the time. The only thing that time and foods do is trigger habit thinking. And the more you get to know the habit thinking around the food, the more you'll be able to hear the conversation that arises. And if you know the conversation, you're like, oh, that's the conversation I always have before I eat. I'm glad I'm really listening now because now I have choice. When we don't know the conversation, we also take away choice because our brain, when it gets a thought command, it's going to follow through with any habit thought command unless you have conscious intervention. So that is why it's like we have tons and tons of great habit thoughts. A lot of us have really great habit thoughts around our children. Like when our children shit their diaper, we have amazing habit thoughts like, I don't want to, but I will change the diaper. Why do we do that? Because the cost of not changing the diaper is excruciating. They're going to get rash. They're going to cry and all this other stuff. So we do things all of our life when we don't want to, because we have some great commands that come up and we follow through. We also have things that we do in life where we have to consciously decide. That's great. Sometimes when we're sitting in traffic and we're like cussing ass mad because it's like it's taking too long or anything, guess what we do? We don't turn around and go home and call out sick. We sit there and we tell ourselves like, bitch, we're going to work. We better start thinking about what we're going to do when we first walk in the doors. We didn't anticipate this kind of traffic. So we're constantly going through life, telling ourselves what to do, telling ourselves what to think about, redirecting ourselves when we feel like it's hard, when we have the urge to just, you know, blow our horn at someone. We are constantly denying urges. The difference when it comes to food is you have a story that food controls you. You don't sit there in traffic and go like, oh, I am just going to have to blow my horn and cuss everyone. I'm going to have to get out of my car and yell at everybody ahead of me because I have an urge to do it. I just have no control when I drive. When I'm at the grocery store and somebody's paying in coins and I need to get some formula for my baby, you're not going like, oh my God, I've got an urge to shove the old lady down. We're not sitting there going like, I just have a really hard time not pushing people down. We're not telling those stories. But we do it around food. And then we're just like, Corinne, I need a coaching call. I just don't understand why it's so hard to say no. It is because of the bullshit story that we have around the food. So like the first thing before you even get to this sheet is I want you to look at golden Oreos and Cheerios and ice cream and Merlot and whatever it is you've got sitting in front of you. I want you to ask yourself and write it down. What is my story around this? Do I believe this food is more powerful than me? And we've got to question all of it. What do I repeatedly tell myself about this? Do I tell myself, well, I know I can't control myself because since 1972, every Friday night, I've had a bag of Cheetos. Guess what? A whole nother thought that's not effective. Who gives a fuck how many times you've overate Cheetos? Who gives a fuck how many times you've overate Oreos? I want to know, like, let's give a fuck about what we're going to do next Friday. Like, rather than focusing on, like, Corinne, I really need to defend my position of what an overeater I am. Let me explain all the ways. That would be like going to your child and saying, like, hey, before I tell you I love you, can I please tell you what a failure of a mother I am? Like, I really need you to know just how terrible I am before I make your bed. No. Here's what we need to do. Rather than sitting around and thinking about every instance of when we've not been able to control ourselves, what we need to do is like, I want to start thinking about who I want to be with Oreos. I'm learning how to be someone that eats Oreos because I do worksheets on them. I put them on my plan. I eat them purposely. I listen for conversations. I want you to think about more for all of you who like to traipse through your past to figure out how to prove a shitty ass thought, like I can't control myself. I want you to start disproving the thought by saying like, I want to traipse into my future and figure out like, all right, on Friday, I'm going to practice controlling Oreos. rather than I hope I don't fuck up this weekend because every other Friday I've ate all of them. Optional fucking thinking. All of you, optional fucking thinking. You've got to get better at noticing when your story is busted ass bullshit. I don't care if it feels true. I don't care if your habit brain offers it up on the regular. That part doesn't matter. When you start going, but it's true, but my brain won't keep thinking about it. You know what I need? A big fucking picture of a baby. That's what a baby does. A baby whines about their thinking. Y'all are not babies. You're grown-ass women. You know what I care about? When your brain says, habit thought incoming, here's what you did in the past. Here's what you're afraid of. You're like, got it. I've been paying attention to my thoughts so much. I hear you now. I don't agree with you anymore because, and this is the thing, you don't need new evidence to believe you can control yourself. You need a new thought. The more you put in, like, all right, I'm just going to start plugging in new thoughts. The more you do that, the more you're likely to create evidence to prove something new true. The more you whine and resist your old thinking, you will revert back to your old stuff and keep proving your old thought true. All right, so we still haven't ate anything yet. I know, it would be amazing if I had a baby pop up, like just like something where I could like throw it up on the screen. Chris is working on something ultra special. I don't know if you know, guys know, but I have a soundboard below me and he is working on something special. When we start reverting over to Zoom, you might start hearing some fun things in our calls. All right, let's get out the worksheet. Finally, we're going to eat the food and put my glasses on. Get your food out. I want you to tell yourself right now, hey, self, thank you for doing this exercise. If you ate, I want you to say thank you for paying attention and not beating yourself up. If you started your food and stopped, I want you to say thank you for stopping so you can try the worksheet in real time. And if you've not ate at all, I want you to say thank you for sitting with the food. Sometimes that's not so easy. Whatever you, all of you get to thank yourself in this moment. So step one, you've already got your food you really like. Step two, we're going to sit at a table alone and we're going to use this worksheet to answer questions. I know at 9 o'clock in the morning, some of y'all are probably sitting in a cubicle. You ain't alone, but I want you to have the spirit of aloneness with you, which means, hey, I'm going to fucking concentrate right now. That's all I'm asking for is some concentration. So I want you to write the name of the food on there. So if you've got a golden Oreos, Cheerios, whatever you got, I want you to put it right there. I want you to write down the quantity that you would like to eat. Like, how much do you want to eat? Now, you can do this in one of two ways. You can say, I want to eat all of it. Or if you're like, well, I know I'm only supposed to eat till enough. I only want to eat to enough. There's really no wrong answer right now. Okay, no wrong answer. So just how much do you really want to eat of whatever you have? When I did this worksheet the first time, I did it on a jar of peanut butter. This was a few years ago, and this was back when I had a story that I could not control myself around peanut butter. We now have literally 5 jars in the pantry at all times. Chris loves peanut butter. We keep it. And I haven't ate a jar of peanut butter in forever. And I used to, like, I remember when I was in my competition days, I would binge on them. Like, I would, in the middle of the week, just eat, like, a jar and be sick. I mean, a jar of peanut butter. And so, I would, like, either get halfway through sometimes or 3/4. I would get to a point where I was just sick, my mouth would hurt, and I would give it to Chris and say, please put this in the trunk of your car and don't bring it back until I'm off competition season. Then I'd buy another jar, and it would repeat. But I had a big story during competition season that it was too hard to say no to peanut butter. I did not know back then. I had no thought work behind me. I didn't even realize when I was going through all those competitions, there was a lot of disordered eating that happened during that time. It's the first time in my life I'd ever really experienced any kind of disordered eating patterns. But that was one of mine. And then after I was done competing, peanut butter was like one of those holdovers where I had a really hard time stopping. And now I don't. I just, because I changed my story. I did this Fuck It Foods worksheet around it. And then after that, I started really, like, I would sit with a jar of peanut butter and eat out of it on purpose. And I would tell myself, we know when to stop it enough. And I would sit with it and I would eat some and I would eat it mindfully. And I would tell myself, you get to stop at any time. I changed the how I talk to myself through eating it versus like, oh, it tastes so good. Oh, I just want to keep eating it. You know, if I'll start tomorrow. Those kinds of thoughts were coming up, but I was real clear on making sure that I had a story I wanted to tell, and I would start eating it with the new story. And then when the old thoughts would come up, I'd be like, no, let's focus on what we really want to be doing here. I did that for a while. And now I literally do not have a problem with peanut butter being in the house. I always know exactly when to stop. And yes, I'm like one of those, I don't like putting shit in a bowl when it comes to peanut butter. I'd rather just, I don't know. It's like, I feel like I don't get to eat it the way I want to eat it. I like eating it out of the jar. So if I want to eat it out of the jar, I wanted to learn how to eat it out of the jar in a way that worked for me. And I did. So I know this can be done. So now this, we have a typo on here. It says the hunger scale. We don't do the hunger scale anymore. So where are you in doable enough? So this is what I want you to think about. Like, am I hungry or am I not hungry? That's really all I want you to be thinking about. And if you're doing this, a lot of times people will do this. They will eat dinner and then they will do it with dessert. Sometimes you may be like, I'm at enough. So that's always an option too. Yeah, other people are over here talking about Nutella and stuff. I would like to listen to a podcast that Corinne talks about disordered eating. I don't have one of those. I mean, there might be times when I've sprinkled in some of my competition stuff, guys, but I don't have one in particular on disordered eating. I'm not an expert in it. I know enough about it, but I'm not such an expert in it that I would feel comfortable teaching it. I will tell you, next month's book study, if you will go to, we're doing Words to Eat by Karen Koenig. I interviewed her for the podcast that's coming out in about 3 weeks. Listen to that one. Read that book. It's really good. And do the book study next month. And Karen is actually the author of the book, is doing a Q&A just for us inside the membership next month also. So if you go to the calendar, you can find all that information. But if you're looking into disordered eating, I would totally suggest that. So now describe the food in detail. So you're going to write down, like, what is the look? I want you to actually pick it up. I want you to smell it. If you have the food, I want you to touch it, like squeeze it a little bit, like manipulate it a little bit in your hand. If you can, if it's like wine or, you know, like a smoothie or whatever you've got, I want you just like, just touch it. It's important to understand the smell, the look, the texture, and the color. I really want you to be descriptive here and write that down. So go ahead and do that. Some of you are doing Reese's peanut butter eggs. I used to love those things. I love all nut butters. That doesn't sound right, does it? No, I love all nut butters. Like, I've never met a nut butter I didn't love. I don't know why that would sound wrong. If it's wrong, I don't want to be right. let's see. I started the book. Unfortunately, it's not available as an audiobook. It is really good. New things are, yeah, it's not on audiobook. It's called Words to Eat By. She's also got two other, while y'all are doing your taste and texture, she has two other books that I highly recommend. Normal Rules of Eating was the first one I fell in love with. And then her newest one, Words to Eat By, is a lot more about the thought work. And then she has a workbook called the Food and Feelings Workbook. If you are a disordered eater, if you are a binge eater, I highly recommend it. It helps you really understand some of the biggest feelings that trigger binges and emotional eating at such a good, rich, deep level. I would even do all of the exercises. It might take you a couple of months to get through it. Highly, highly recommend. It's like a Bible in my house. I love that workbook so much. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to think, what is your current thought about this before you eat the food? Now, if you want, you can use the current thought you have right now, like, I wish Corinne would fucking move along, or she's taking too long with this. Or you can even use the thought, what you typically have before you eat the food, like, it's really hard to be with this food, or this food is delicious. Maybe often you think, I just want it. You can use any thoughts, and you can put in as many as you want. So if you want to say, like, here are the thoughts I'm having right now at 9 o'clock in the morning on a Wednesday, but here's the kind of thoughts that I normally have around this food, you can add that in too. And then what I want you to do is I want you to look at your thoughts. And for each one, if you have one or you have two or three, I want you to write a one word emotion. What is the feeling? So if you wrote down a couple of thoughts, put a feeling for each one of them. If you wrote down two or three and it's all a very similar feeling, write that feeling down. It's whatever feeling that you have right now. For some of you, because it's not in the morning and your thoughts are different than they are at night, it may feel calm. For some of you, if it's one of your foods that you've in the past overate, you may feel nervous. That's okay. We just want to understand what we're thinking and feeling. Now we're going to start the eating. And this is what we're going to do. I'm going to have you take a bite and I want you to chew it. And I want you to pay attention to the food in your mouth as you eat. So go ahead and take a bite and pay attention. And then once you finish that one bite, I don't want you to take another bite. I want you to describe the bite in detail. Like, what was it like in your mouth? Like, what did you notice? Hey, Andrea has a good question. What if you can't come up with a thought because you go unconscious? Right now, you have a thought. I can't come up with a thought. Guess what? When we think I can't come up with a thought because I go unconscious, guess what happens? Our brain says, all right, ignore everything she's thinking. So I want you to think about this. Rather than saying I can't come up with a thought, I want you to think, I'm willing to take a guess what my habit brain might be thinking. And then you just write that down. You want to get really good at just writing that down. There's never, like, guys, there's nothing wrong with guessing at your thinking. Like, literally. And this is the funny thing. A lot of you think that, like, you go unconscious and you can't hear your thinking. You can if you quit telling yourself, I've gone unconscious. That is the thought that you have. Like, the thought that I have about the food is I've gone unconscious. That's not true. That's just what you think. You also could be thinking, I bet there's a thought down in there. One day I'll hear it. Very different. Okay, now we're going to go on to bite two. So go ahead and take another bite. And do the same thing. I want you to chew slowly, and then I want you to write about bite two in detail. Now, the trick to this whole Fuck It Foods worksheet is every single bite, I want you really paying attention for nuances and differences. I want you to notice when taste and textures change, when your thought processes start to change. So write down, like, this is what I'm thinking. This is what I'm tasting. This is what it's like in my mouth. I want you to be doing that the whole time. And then at any point where you're just like, I don't want anymore, I think I'm done. It could be because the taste has changed. It could be because you realize you've had enough. You realize you've gotten what you need out of this. Whatever it is, you get to stop. But you can also go all the way to 10 or until you finish. There's literally no right or wrong. The best part of this exercise is noticing any changes that you normally don't notice bite after bite after bite. Because we're rarely ever slowing down this dramatically to eat something and just to see, Like, when do I stop enjoying it? When do I like switch over from like, I really am enjoying it to I just want to finish it. I'm not even really enjoying it. I just feel like I need to finish it. It's about slowing it down and doing that part. And then somebody had said something about like, they're not really feeling the urge right now because it's in the morning and not during their witching hour. It's not necessarily true. I want you to open your mind to that not being true. This is the thought that's going to serve you, because that thought automatically makes you think like, oh, it's different during different times of the day. That means that if it's different during different times of the day, then there are times of the day where I feel hopeless and out of control. I want you to think about it this way. Right now, I have different thinking than I have during my witching hour. So I want to know what those two differences are, because if I'm not feeling an urge right now, I can use the power of now thinking during my witching hour, because that's the only difference. During my witching hour, my brain's habit thoughts come up, and whatever my power thinking right now is that doesn't drive urges, that's probably the kind of thinking I need to apply during that time. So now I know exactly what to tell myself tonight at 5 o'clock and at 8 o'clock. Because I wouldn't feel the urges as intensely if I was having that conversation. I just proved this conversation feels very curious. Notice how that works? Okay, so just keep eating. Yes, you guys can keep going. So now you just get to keep going. What you do is you take a bite. You think about it for a few seconds, you make notes, you pause and decide, do I want another bite? If the answer is yes, you take another bite. You do the same thing, and you just keep doing it either until you finish what you have, you've decided I don't want any more, or you hit reach 10 bites. Like, any of those things work. And some of you are like, for the first time ever, when you eat something slowly and deliberately and really just pay attention, you're like, wow, it's like when I'm not just checked out and scarfing it down, it's a little different. That's good to know. I mean, that's really good for you to know. That just means like, well, what if I did this every single time? Sometimes I might want all of it, but at least if I eat it really slow, number one, I get to truly experience it versus what I normally do. I consciously am making the decision. I'm no longer eating on autopilot and telling myself I have no more control. I'm learning so many lessons by doing it deliberately. And I bet if I always ate this way, there would be lots of times I wouldn't want all of it. I'd get the satisfaction I'm craving out of it. There'd be other times I would want more, and that's okay too. At the end of the day, I would have a healthier relationship with food. The purpose of this is not to teach you that you don't love your food. It's to teach you that you have power of choice as to how much you want, how often you want to include it, the level of excitement and joy that you get out of it, how much unconsciousness you have with it. That's the purpose. So now what we're going to do is we're going to do the after eating reflection. So if you're still eating, please feel free to continue to go on. The nice thing about videos is that you can pause this if you need more time, but for the sake of time, I'm going to move on. So after you choose to stop eating, I want you to answer the following questions. Did the experience with the food change at all? The taste and the texture? If so, how? If not, here's the, like, there's literally, guys, I've run this exercise thousands of times with or ran it several times with thousands of people. Some people, the taste and texture does not change for them. That's okay. Just put no, it didn't. First bite was just as good as the 10th bite. That's not bad. Some of you will notice, like, after bite 3, your taste buds started like adapting and getting desensitized, and it did change. That's fine too. All we want to do is we want to be very curious about what your unique experience is like. And I will tell you, for those of you where the experience doesn't change, don't be shocked that if you do this exercise once every month, with foods, especially if you do it with the same foods or different food, it, you know, even if you do it with different foods, but especially with the same foods, that it may, your level of awareness and your mouth may pick up. Sometimes what happens is that it kind of feels the same. It's because your brain isn't ready. Like, it's used to eating unconscious. So it just sends up a lot of similar thoughts because it's not really used to noticing at a deep level. This is like step one to be able to do that. So that's really good for you. I want you to think about, it's not because I'm broken. I want you to think like, oh, this is really good for me to be opening the door so that I understand that my taste buds aren't changing. I want to see in subsequent exercises if it does. And then, did you notice a difference eating this way? What was it? So I want you to think about what was different. Was it different to eat this way? Because like, well, it's very different when Corinne's guiding me because of these reasons. I was waiting. A lot of times we think we have no control over food until Corinne is sitting there. And then as I'm like, wait until the next bite, wait until the next bite. Y'all are like, okay. It's like, this is what I want to tell you. If that's you, it's obvious the food doesn't have control because all it took was Corinne to step into the room and suddenly you are in control. Like, I am going to listen to every word she says and I'm only going to do what she says. You took control of the food, which proves you have way more control than you think you do. All right. So what did you notice that was different? For some of you, it raises up your level of awareness. For a lot of you, this is eye-opening. Some of you are like, wow, I think I know what my enough is. Somebody was like, I only ate one cookie. My mind is blown. I used other senses that I'm normally not using. Found out my food was not as interesting as I thought it was. And some people said some stuff got too sweet after a few bites. The first bite was wonderful. And after a few bites, it was like, oh, wow, it's a little bit extra sweet. I didn't ever realize it was getting sweeter. I realized I didn't need the whole package. Those are really good comments, guys. The next thing, we often think we can't control certain foods. Imagine if you ate these foods this deliberately every single time. Would you have more or less control and why? Again, there's no wrong answer. So if you feel like I wouldn't have more control, that's just good for you to know. Why do you think that? Every thought after that is a current thinking thought, a little old shitty that you probably need. Like, I wonder how my life would be different if I changed that kind of thinking around this food. And then for some of you, it's going to be like, hell yeah, if I'd eat this slow every single time, it'd be like a whole new world for me. Here's all the things that would be like happening. Then ask yourself, why did you stop eating? For some of you, I've seen already some of the comments. Somebody said, my food became disappointing. It didn't give me the charge that I thought it was going to give me. I realized I needed something to drink and not the chips. So I stopped eating. So just look at like reasons why you stopped eating. It could be I saw other people were stopping. So I stopped. If that was you, that's a great realization that you're like eating based on pacing on what others are doing. Good to know. I didn't want to is another one. I didn't want to, but I did. That's why I stopped eating. That's good to know. I have the capacity to not want to stop, but can. My stomach started hurting a little bit. After the third bite, shit just wasn't as lush. I found out a taste is enough for me. Then how does your body feel after eating this? I want you to just check in and I just want you to notice, how does your body feel? Does it feel better? Does it feel satisfied? Do you notice like for some of you that are eating really sweet things, especially at 9 o'clock in the morning, do you feel a little jittery? Anything that you might be feeling. The urgency in my body is gone. I notice that my mouth feels greasy. Somebody asked, why do my fuck it foods have chocolate in them if I don't even like chocolate much? It's just what your brain wants. It doesn't mean, they don't have to be your favorite foods. They could be convenient. It could just be what you're used to eating when you're wanting to, like, not give a shit. It could be, like, you are socially programmed to think all women should like chocolate, so that's just what you go for during emotional times because maybe your mom did. Could be a million reasons. I wouldn't even waste my time on it, to be honest. My body is satisfied, but my thoughts aren't. So that's awesome to know because if my body gets satisfied, guess what? I can control my thinking. All I got to do is tell myself, all right, if I want to be satisfied in my thoughts, what do I need to be thinking that's different than what I'm thinking right now? And then what did you most learn from eating this way? I would love to see some of that in the comments. What was the most eye-opening thing here? Wow, this should be a part of newbie orientation. What an incredible exercise. It's a game changer. It's a good idea. I don't know if we do it during orientation, but it may be something that we want to make sure that I know we have this worksheet inside of No BS, but maybe it's one of those that we want to do periodically. We do these periodically. We don't do them every month, though, but we do them periodically. I'd like to try it again in the evening when I start my grab-ass snacking to see if I have the same experience. I would definitely do that. Play one of my videos where I've done this and do it during grab-ass time. And even if you can't play the videos, guys, you can do the worksheet and just tell yourself for tonight, you want to have the right thinking before you do the worksheet. Just tell yourself for tonight, while I normally do my grab-assing, I really want to experiment with doing the Fuck It Foods worksheet just to see what could be different. I can always go back to mindless grab-assing tomorrow. And I would pick a day where it would be the easiest day to do it. Don't pick a day that's the most stressful of all. Like, you know, for some of you, it may be like Mondays. Like a lot of us start off with all of our piss and vinegar on Mondays. So Monday evening might be the best one. Like whichever evening where you feel like, or even on a weekend, like even if you normally don't grab ass on the weekend, cook on a Saturday night like you normally would during the week and then do it. And then that's also super interesting for all of you to think, like if you grab ass Monday through Friday when you cook, and let's say you've got like a stressful day, but on the weekends, you don't grab ass while you cook dinner. What is the difference in your thinking? Like pay attention all day through on the weekend and notice where are my thoughts more relaxed? Like a lot of times when we're at work, we spend a lot of time worrying what other people think and we spend a lot of time judging ourselves. Then we wonder why we come home and need to like blow our lid with relaxation. If you're not doing that on the weekend and you notice some of those eats go down, it's not because it's the weekend. It's because during the day, you're not doing all that. So that means you need to learn the skill during the week, during your work week, how to stop people pleasing and how to stop berating yourself and all of that kind of stuff. Okay, guys, that is it. That is the Fuck It Foods worksheet. So I hope you got a lot of value out of this. Do this more often. This is the reason why we give you these calls in the archives, like we give them to you in the video replays, we put them in the private member podcast and stuff, is so that you guys have these tools to be able to do them on your own. So much of No BS is full of amazing self-study resources. I advise you guys, like when you find an exercise like this that like really helps you, number one, get out your calendar and put in a time when you want to do it again. Go ahead and make that appointment with yourself. And then leave a note in the calendar as to why you want to do it. Even get your planner out. Flip to the day where you're going to do it and go ahead and write in there, get you a big sticky note or piece of paper and staple it to that page and say, this was so valuable because, so that your brain has all that buy-in. It remembers the reason why you want to do it. Because you might not want to do it the next time. You might be talking yourself out of it and forgetting all the value out of it. So do that for yourself. The second thing is make sure your accountability partners know about this worksheet. Be willing to, like some of y'all, get on those Zoom calls together. All of you make an agreement, like we're all going to do it on a Saturday afternoon, and then we'll Marco Polo each other. But y'all do it and then share the results and stuff. Bring your community in around you on these and set up some of these tools so that you guys are helping yourselves out. Okay. Y'all have a good one. I will see you tomorrow morning for the next Basics 2.0. Be 8:30 in the morning. Talk to you then. Bye, y'all.